Good morning. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. When I was invited to preach this morning, I looked at the calendar at the lectionary and noticed that yesterday was the Feast of Mary Magdalene. And so I got in touch with the powers that be, Stephen and Josh, and suggested that perhaps we use the lessons for Mary Magdalene today. What could be kind of a summer excursus into Mary Magdalene? We went with the traditional lessons this morning, and welcome to the Gospel of Matthew, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. So not only did I get the Gospel of Matthew with weeping and gnashing of teeth, don't worry, it's not the last time, you'll hear it again. But I get a parable that the disciples go to Jesus and ask him to explain. So not only do we have the parable, we have Jesus telling us what it means. So you may ask what I'm doing here. Sure, Dinah, go ahead, preach after Jesus. And then I remembered my homiletics professor in seminary who wouldn't let us get away with something like that and said, okay, I do have to sit with this gospel for a minute. Where do I start? And I started with Jesus' first word saying the kingdom of heaven may be compared. Well, what do we mean by the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of heaven? It's not the same as heaven. We're not talking about the afterlife. What are we talking about here? The kingdom of heaven. Well, the kingdom of the heaven really comes to us in Jesus. The breaking in the incarnation, the breaking in of the divine into our world brings into our lives, brings into our world the kingdom of heaven. You know that we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. Jesus teaches us that prayer, to pray, thy kingdom come. So what we are looking at is the inbreaking of the kingdom of heaven into our world. And so over the years, there have been different understandings of what this parable might mean, this parable that compares weeds and wheat and how they are sown to the kingdom of heaven. At first, the kingdom of heaven could have been, likely was, a counterpoint to the Roman Empire. We are the children of the one true God. We are oppressed by this empire that dominates and oppresses us. But we are children of the kingdom, weeds and wheat. And then it's likely that it changed into those who followed Jesus, the Jews who followed Jesus, and the Jews who decided not to. So we get kind of an internecine division there, weeds and wheat, us and them. And then perhaps as the church went on, it became people who were in the church and people who were not in the church. And then perhaps as time went on even further, it became people who were in our side of the church versus people who were in the other side of the church, which of course poses the problem of us being us and them being them, unless of course you're them when it's them being us and us being them, because both sides know very clearly that God is on their side. And so it continues and it has gone on, perhaps even in the American life as we have had churches develop and separate and new denominations appear every time. It's us, 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 of course, and them. And then sometimes it even becomes within a denomination, us and them. We can do that too. Us and them, it seems to always happen, weeds and wheat. So you'll notice that the story means different things to different people at different times. That's one of the ways we understand Scripture, that Scripture always speaks to us. It is never finished speaking. And so as I sat with this parable, I thought, well, what could it mean, weeds and wheat? Well, us and them, weeds and wheat. Perhaps it's a story of American exceptionalism. You know, I am a weed, but through the power of my efforts and my work, my hard work and my practice and diligence, I can become wheat. Maybe it's a story of that kind of determination and transformation. Maybe as Jesus leaves these weeds and wheats to grow together, it's Doris Day. When I was just a little girl, Doris Day had a famous song, "Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see, que sera, sera." So maybe we're just expected to live with weeds and wheat. We don't know how it will happen. It's just what we're called to do and be, and we don't know who's weeds and who's wheat, and whatever will be, will be. Works pretty well until you get to the weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then I thought, well, what if I take it down to me? I'm standing in your pulpit. I've been in your pulpit maybe four times. I was raised up out of this congregation, and in January, it will be 15 years since I was ordained here. And so I stand here in my robes and my collar, and I also remember that I was here for a very long time as a layperson. And I think about that thing that's going around that says I'm perhaps have imposter syndrome. You know, it's applied usually to young professionals, and they have the credentials and they have the clothes and they have the job, and they walk out there and they know who they are and everybody identifies them, and they feel deep within themselves that they are imposters. And I wonder if I, as I stand here, how weedy I really am. But then as I looked at that, I thought, you know, when Jesus gives us that prayer, he says, forgive us our sins. Forgive us. Maybe we should look at this as a community kind of thing. Maybe all of us are involved together. Maybe it's not an individual kind of thing. And maybe it's not even an us-them kind of a thing. Maybe it's not that I should invite you to look kind of side-eyed around the congregation and try to identify who are the weeds and who's the wheat. But maybe it's all of us. Maybe all of us are weed and wheat together. Forgive us our sins, because we are weed and wheat together. And so as I sat with this, I thought, perhaps what we are hearing, what I am hearing in this story today, is the community that gathers together, this weedy, wheaty community that supports one another in our good works, that calls to one another to become more like a follower of Jesus in the world, that invites us to welcome others, however weedy they may be, to join with us. Because it is as we work together, as we develop the fruit of the kingdom within us and among us and share it with the world, that we indeed can be part of the kingdom of heaven here, the inbreaking of the kingdom here. It's not me. It's not you. It's us. And we recognize as we confess each week that each and every one of us is sinful, and Jesus has come for each and every one of us and graciously calls us and forgives our sins and invites us to be part of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven may be seen as a world where weeds and wheat grow together. How can we be part of transforming that kingdom so that there is more wheat, there is more fruit, there is more life of the kingdom out there? Jesus says, as this ends, "Whoever has ears, listen." I suggest whoever has eyes, see. Whoever has a heart to awaken to how we are in the world and to work as a community for justice and peace and to share with the world what the kingdom of God means as compared to the kingdom of the world. And we can't do it alone. We need each other. Weedy and weedy as we are, we need all of us to support one another, to love one another, to welcome Christ into our lives so that we can work for the kingdom together. And so I'd like you to open your bulletin now and turn to the psalm. And I invite us to read together the first two verses. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Knit my heart to you, that I may fear your name. I will thank you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and glorify your name forevermore. Let anyone who has ears listen.